Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, which speaks to every generation. As we look today at the two trees in the Garden of Eden, help us to see not simply an ancient story, but your message for our lives today. Open our hearts to hear your truth. Help us understand why these trees matter and how they point us to Jesus Christ, the source of eternal life. For those who already know you, strengthen our faith. For those still searching, may they discover the hope and life found in Christ alone. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a portion of Genesis chapter 2, and later on I'll be referring back to Genesis chapter 3. So I'm going to start at chapter 2, verse 5, and finish at 9. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up for the Lord. The Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. May God bless his word to us. Now many people think the story of Adam and Eve is only a children's story. Yet the Bible begins with two important trees and the Bible ends with one of them. The story starts in a garden and ends in a glorious new creation. It begins with humanity losing access to life and ends with humanity receiving life forever through Jesus Christ. These two trees teach us about freedom, obedience, sin, and God's plan to save humanity. Today we're going to look at the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and what these trees mean to us today, and how Jesus restores what was lost. Genesis 2:9 says, in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Notice that both trees were placed in the middle of the garden. God could have placed them anywhere, yet he placed them where Adam and Eve could see them. Why? Because God created human beings with freedom to choose. Love is only meaningful when there is a choice. God did not create robots. He created people capable of trusting him and loving him willingly. The story of Eden is not really about fruit. It's about whether humanity would trust God. The first tree mentioned is the tree of life. It represents the life God intended for humanity. Life with God. Life without sin. Life without suffering. Life without death. Adam and Eve were free to eat from this tree. However, after they disobeyed God, everything changed. Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. And the Lord God said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And this tells us that humanity was prevented from eating from the tree of life and therefore living forever in a fallen condition. It may be difficult to understand why a loving God would do this, but it was an act of mercy. Imagine living forever in a world full of sickness, pain, war, and broken relationships. God's plan was not for people to remain trapped in sin forever. Instead, he'd planned redemption. And the tree of life does not disappear from the Bible. It appears again in Revelation 22, verses 2 to 4. John says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." So the Bible begins with access to life. Humanity loses access to life. Then through Jesus Christ, access is restored. This is the great story of Scripture. Creation, fall, redemption, restoration. The book of Proverbs also uses the image of the tree of life. Proverbs 3 verse 18 says, "She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her." Here wisdom is compared to the tree of life. God's wisdom brings blessing, guidance, and true flourishing. When we follow God's ways, we experience something of the life he intended for us. People are still searching for life today. They look for it in success, money, relationships, entertainment, technology, social media approval. Yet many people still feel empty. We have more comforts than previous generations. Yet loneliness and anxiety remain common. The reason is simple. We were made for a relationship with God. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now let's turn to the second tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:16-17 says, "And the Lord commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" Notice God's generosity. Adam and Eve could enjoy every other tree. Only one was forbidden. Yet they focused on the one thing that they could not have. Human nature has not changed very much. A psychiatrist conducted an experiment. They placed a large red button in a room, on a table, with a chair, and a large notice, "Do not touch the red button." What do you think everyone's attention was drawn to? The red button. Yes, the red button, and some pressed it. It's our nature to want what we are told not to have, even from an early age. When Daisy visited us a couple of weeks ago, when she came over, I said to her, Daisy, don't open the door, please. Of course, the first thing her attention was drawn to was the door, and she opened it, the little minx. That meant I had to run upstairs after her. Well, try to. You see, the tree itself was not evil. How could it be? God created it. The issue was obedience. Would humanity trust God's wisdom? Or would humanity decide for itself what was right and wrong? The serpent tempted Eve in Genesis 3:1-21. It's quite a long passage, but I'll read it. Now the serpent was craftier than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree of the fruit was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them both were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. To the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow will you eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. The temptation was not simply eating fruit. The temptation was independence from God. It was the desire to say, I know better. I will decide what is right. I don't need God. That same temptation still exists today. Notice God did not let Adam and Eve die immediately. His full plan was still to be revealed. Also notice God's graciousness to provide clothing for Adam and Eve, which I presume must have involved the slaughter of an animal. Our culture often says, you hear this, don't you, all the time, follow your own subjective truth. Often expressed as follow your heart or live in your truth. Decide what is right for you. Self-determination. create your own values. Modern culture typically defines freedom as the ability to do whatever you want without external constraints. Yet the question from Eden remains, who decides what is good and evil, God or us? Every generation must answer that question. Our Christian worldview defines true freedom. I repeat that, our Christian worldview defines true freedom as being liberated from the power of sin to live in obedience to God. Imagine driving through town and deciding that red traffic lights mean go. You may sincerely believe it, but reality will soon prove otherwise. Truth does not change because we ignore it. In the same way, God's moral standards do not change because society changes. We can reject God's wisdom, but we cannot escape the consequences of rejecting it. Now, many people, I listen to this, many people on the tube, whatever you call it, that I look at now and again, is God knew what would happen, why place the tree in the garden at all? The answer is that real love requires real choice. Imagine a robot programmed to say, I love you. That would not be genuine love. Love requires freedom. God gave humanity the freedom to trust him or reject him. Sadly, humanity chose rebellion. Yet that same freedom means God's invitation remains open today. We can still choose to trust him. The root of the world's problems. When we look at our world, we see war, violence, greed, corruption, family breakdown, addiction, injustice. I could go on. They are not merely political or social problems. At their deepest level, they are spiritual problems. They all flow from humanity's decision to live independently from God. Romans 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that includes every one of us. The problem is not just out there, it is in every human heart. And this brings us to the heart of the gospel. Humanity lost access to the tree of life because of sin. So how would God restore us? Through another tree. The cross of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3 verse 13 says, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The first Adam reached for and ate of the forbidden fruit. Jesus reached for the cross. Adam's choice brought death. Jesus' sacrifice brought life. John tells us there was a garden near the place where Jesus was crucified. John 19:41. The first garden, Eden, saw humanity fall. The second garden witnessed the victory of Christ because Jesus died and rose again. Hallelujah. The way back to life had been opened. As the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said himself, Christ himself is our tree of life. Life is found in him and nowhere else. So the Bible is not simply a story about two trees. It's a story about two choices. Trust God or trust ourselves. One path leads away from God. The other leads to life. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice he did not say he would merely choose us life. He said he is the life. Many people spend years searching for meaning. They try success, pleasure, religion. They try self-improvement. Yet something is still missing. That longing exists because we were made for God. The tree of life is no longer found in a garden. Life is found in Jesus Christ. The Bible begins with two trees. One reminds us of God's gift of life. The other reminds us of humanity's choice to reject God's wisdom. Because of sin, humanity lost access to the tree of life. Yet God did not abandon his creation. Through Jesus Christ, the way back was opened. The Bible closes with this wonderful promise in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Wash their robes symbolizes purification from sin. It points to a person being spiritually cleansed and justified not by their own merits, but by placing their trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. What Adam lost, Christ restores. What sin damaged, Christ heals. What was closed in Eden is opened through the cross. And the invitation remains open today. Will we trust ourselves or will we trust Christ? Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you for the truth of your word and for the hope found in Jesus. Thank you that although sin entered the world through human disobedience, you did not leave us without hope. Thank you for your sending your Son to die on the cross and rise again so that we might have eternal life. Forgive us, Lord, when we choose our own way instead of yours. Help us to trust your wisdom and follow your truth. Strengthen those who already know you and help us to be faithful witnesses in our family, workplaces and communities. For anyone still seeking you, may your Holy Spirit draw them to faith in Jesus Christ today. We look forward to the day when your kingdom is fully revealed. And we share in the life you have prepared for your people. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.